Would you pray with me? Holy God, open our hearts, open our minds. Move in this place and let us hear you now. Amen. So I am more and more convinced that the more we look at our children, the more we really see just basic humanity in them and kind of who we are. And some of the traits that we develop as humans are often found in our kids. So Aaron was out of town, is out of town this weekend. And so I had the whole day with the kids yesterday. And so I decided we would transform our house into a fort. And so we got all the sheets down, we got all the chairs down, and we started building. Just our whole living room became transformed into a fort. But although we were trying to have fun, my daughter kept kind of noticing that the twin bed sheets weren't really designed the way she wanted them to be designed. And so sometimes we'd put up the tent and there would be a little gap in the ceiling. Or maybe once we fixed the gap, then the bottom was showing because the sheet wasn't long enough. And so we're trying to build these forts, and she keeps noticing the little cracks or the chair wobbling, and she kind of keeps naming it over and over and over again. And finally, it was like, all right, it's time to revamp. So go upstairs, have some quiet time, have your alone time, and then come down with the revamped attitude, right? And so she did that. We tried it once. It didn't work. But the second time was a charm. Right? So she had been a little overwhelmed with the sheet making, and she kind of just needed to get away for a bit and then come back with a revamped mindset and attitude. So when we're little, we get overwhelmed about small things, but as adults, what we do is we often get overwhelmed about some really big things. We're often carrying things that have a way of transforming our whole minds and our attitudes, and it starts seeping into our souls and our bodies, and sometimes we're overwhelmed. And so in this series, what we've been trying to do is recognize those places where we are feeling overwhelmed. And so we spent the first week of the series talking about recognizing what's going on with our hearts and our minds and our situations. Last week, we looked at recharging and the importance of recharging with the gifts of community, the gifts of other people, recharging with the gift of solitude, and then also recharging with the gift of rest. But the reality is that if we're living in certain rhythms, even if we recharge, once we come out of it, we find ourselves feeling overwhelmed again. So today we're going to look at revamping. Revamping so that we don't live in a state of being overwhelmed. And revamping while being overwhelmed is actually more about changing our focus rather than our situation. It's more about changing our focus rather than changing our situation. And that's what we discover with the Apostle Paul. As he writes this letter to the Philippians, he's in jail. He's in jail and he's most likely going to be executed. And so he knows that this is coming up. If he could have revamped his situation and gotten out of jail, that would have been awesome. But he didn't have the ability to change his situation. So what he had to do instead was revamp his mindset. Revamp the way he was viewing everything. And in doing so, what we find is that the letter to the Philippian church is a letter of joy. Paul says rejoice or joy 12 times throughout this letter. And he's writing to a church that also feels like it's in crisis. They've got their own struggles and hardships. And Paul's not talking about revamping certain situations, but he's talking about revamping the heart and the mind so that we can be people of joy instead of people who are continually overwhelmed. I wonder what our letters would look like if we were in jail, right? I mean, Paul writes this letter full of joy. I've seen our Facebook posts when we go to a restaurant and we're disappointed by the food service, right? Like Paul is a person who continually reminds us to reach for joy instead of being overwhelmed. And so today we might try to look and follow in his footsteps as we work on revamping. So as we revamp, I think the first piece, and if you're following along, you can use the YouVersion Bible app. And the whole sermon outline is in there, and you can take your own notes as well. So I'd encourage you to pull out your phone and follow along with the sermon as well so you can go back and look over it. But the first part of this in revamping is to stop focusing on the negative. I loved Lisa's children's sermon this past Sunday. I don't know if y'all thought about it throughout the week, but I know I did. She invited all of us and the children as well to look all around the sanctuary and find everything that was purple. And so we all looked around the sanctuary and we found what was purple. And then she said, close your eyes. And then we closed our eyes and she said, all right, now tell me all the things that are yellow. We all went, what? That's not what we were looking for. And so we couldn't remember what was yellow. But the truth is, so oftentimes we're looking for the things that are purple instead of the things that are yellow. So often we're looking for the negative instead of focusing on the good. Did you know that 7 out of 10 Americans feel overwhelmed after watching the news? 7 out of 10 Americans. And this was a Pew Research study done a year or two ago. And I imagine that number's probably even gotten higher. Right? And the reality is we can have a 24/7 news cycle. So don't get me wrong. I think we need to be engaged with what's going on in the world. It's part of our responsibility to watch the news, to know what's going on, right? We got to do that. But if we're being overwhelmed by it and then checking the news 24/7, we're just living in a state of being overwhelmed. So maybe we set aside a period of time to do news and then to move to focus on what's good. See, I find myself sometimes checking the news, but I also check Facebook, right? And so I've got Facebook on my phone, and the kids have a 2-minute timer on their toothbrushes. So when it's time for them to brush their teeth, I say, go brush your teeth. And what I know, I've got 2 minutes to just scroll on Facebook, right? There's nothing else for me to do. They're in their PJs. They're occupied. So I can scroll. 2 minutes. And I start scrolling. And I start seeing stuff about Syria. So I scroll a little more, and I start seeing things about the border. And I scroll some more, and I see stuff about a shooting. And all of a sudden, I'm overwhelmed by all the things going on in this world. And then I hear, dad, 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 dad. And now I've got to be dad. Right? I've just immersed myself in this world to be overwhelmed, and then I'm expected to hop out and go read bedtime stories. That's not a healthy routine. So this week, I just simply moved the Facebook icon away from my home screen, right? Because I need to stop focusing on the negative. I don't know what's going on in your world or what rhythms you have that might make you think about the negative things instead of the positive things. But I wonder for each and every one of us, if we're in certain rhythms that sometimes distract us and pull us away from what is truly important, I wonder if we might change those rhythms. We might revamp a little bit. And as we revamp, then we get to start focusing on giving thanks. And that's a pretty wonderful full step to take this week, right? Because it's Thanksgiving. So we focus on giving thanks. Move away from being overwhelmed by all the negative things going on and spend some time giving thanks. Listen again to the Apostle Paul's words about giving thanks. Don't be anxious about anything. Right? These were written by a man who's in prison awaiting his death. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and your petitions, along with giving thanks. So Paul's saying, let God know what's on your heart. But as you do that, make sure you're giving thanks as well. And then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Wow. I want that peace. You want that peace. We need that peace, don't we? And so as we wrestle with these things and as we present our requests to God, we're invited to also give thanks. And so here's a little video. Sometimes in the midst of being overwhelmed, we forget to give thanks, and it's hard to think outside of our worlds to be thankful for things. So if you need some help this week remembering things to be thankful for, I want you to check out this video.
Oh, that's all.
Seriously?
I Okay. Oh. Where is it all going? Oh, please, please, please.
Why is this happening?
No!
It's 1278.
All right, let me get your... No, buddy. No, no, buddy. No, no, buddy.
Hey, honey. Are you taking things for granted again?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, well, is there anything you can do about that? Because we really need to do some laundry.
Lord, will you please give me a more grateful heart? Honey! My car! Okay.
I'm Pete Cotting.
We're going to celebrate you again, Pete. That was several weeks ago, but we might as well thank you for all that you do. But so, right, be thankful. Sometimes we take some of our too many things for granted. So the next time we're feeling overwhelmed, I want to invite you to just start making a list. Thank God for all the things you are thankful for, and sometimes it might just be water. It might be chairs to sit in. It might be air conditioning. It's food. Start making that list, and it has a way of transforming our hearts to focus on giving God thanks, and we feel a little less overwhelmed. The Apostle Paul then invites us to focus on what is good. Right? If we're going to stop focusing on the bad things, then we've got a whole lot of time and space and energy to focus on what is good. And listen to this list that Paul gives us. It says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. All right, Paul's in prison. He's got a whole lot of time on his hands. And he could think about all the negative things going on, but what he's thinking about is the things that are just, the things that are right, the things that are honorable. And he's filling his heart and his mind with what is good. So I wonder for us if we might be intentional about filling our hearts and minds with what is good. Sometimes that means we revamp our situation, right? We can't always revamp, but maybe we revamp little pieces of our situation. Last week we talked about rest. Do you know that America is the wealthiest country that uses the least amount of vacation days? Right? Like, we have cycles and rhythms to go on vacation, and yet we as Americans don't use all of our vacation days. Right? And then we go around feeling overwhelmed because we don't get enough rest. There are sometimes little revamps that we need to do in our cycles. So maybe it's important for all of us to use our vacation days. Because you know what? I love y'all. And I love coming into my office each and every day, but when it's vacation time, I'm going. I'll pray for you, but I'm not thinking about that many things going on, right? So it's important for us to build in that revamping, kind of shift our schedule some. When Aaron and I first got into ministry, we were talking to another couple, and they said, Clay, y'all need to have date night every single night. Once a week. You need to have it once a week. Don't let a week go by where you don't take a date night. It's like, what? Well, there's nighttime meetings. There's all these things going on. And I was like, no, we need to make sure that we're focusing on what is good. And so one night a week, we make sure that we focus on what's good. We don't focus on the other things going on. We don't focus on things going on in the church or things going on in our kids' life. We focus on each other and what's going good. I don't know what rhythms y'all need to incorporate into your life, but there might be some times or spaces where you kind of just revamp just a little bit to make sure that you're creating space to focus on what is good. And if we get to a spot where we're focusing on Thanksgiving, focusing on what is good, I think we can also get to a spot where we start to focus on others. Because sometimes in the midst of being overwhelmed, it's important for us to stop thinking about ourselves and instead focus on other people. Paul says this in the first chapter of Philippians. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the things that have happened to me have actually advanced the gospel. The whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else knows that I'm in prison for Christ. Most of the brothers and sisters have had more confidence through the Lord to speak the word boldly and bravely because of my jail time." Wow. See, Paul can't change his situation, so he instead starts thinking about other people. And he uses his imprisonment to actually advance the gospel, to make sure that more and more people know about the peace, love, and hope of Jesus Christ. Paul, in his situation that he couldn't change, revamped his heart to make sure that he was focusing on other people. One summer, I was a chaplain at Children's Medical Center, and the eighth floor at Children's Medical Center is the oncology floor. That was not my favorite floor to be on. Nobody wants to be on the floor with children and cancer. But I met a dad in there that was there with his four-year-old daughter. And he had revamped his heart and his mind to focus on other people. He couldn't change his situation. But what he did was make sure that he had Bible studies on the floor. And so all the other parents could gather in the midst of all feeling overwhelmed. They would get together and they would pray and study scripture. When a new family entered the floor and they were there for the first time and all the treatments just seemed overwhelming, that dad was one of the first people to greet them, to shake their hand and to say, "You're not alone. We're here with you." This man, in the midst of his situation, chose, instead of focusing on the negative, to focus on the good and to focus on other people. I wonder for us if, when we're overwhelmed, if we might find somebody else to reach out to and help. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we say, "You know what, I'm in this, but I'm not alone. So come alongside me and we're gonna trudge through this tough situation together." This morning as you came in, you received a card. Right? There's a card that you were given when you came in. It was in your worship bulletin. And in it, it's a blank card. And it encourages you to take this card. And I want you this week to spend some time writing a note of encouragement to somebody in our congregation. Because the reality is, this can be an overwhelming week for us. And it might be an overwhelming week for somebody else. And so if you will take the time this week to write one card, one note of encouragement to somebody else, it helps remove our focus from ourselves to other people. Each week, you've got the opportunity on your connection card to make sure that you check the box that you want to receive prayer emails, right? So every time prayers are submitted, we email those out to the congregation. And I know sometimes our lives are so busy, so overwhelming that we receive it in our inbox, but we might just scroll past it. But this week, when that prayer list comes to you, I invite you to make sure that you click on it. Spend some time praying for each and every person that's on the prayer list. And then find one person and send them a card. And if you need help getting church addresses, we can help you with that and the church app and the directory and those pieces. But I want to challenge you to start focusing on other people in the midst of our own sense of being overwhelmed. And if writing a card is your thing, that's wonderful. And some of you might be thinking, "You know what? I might be able to do something else." We've been talking about congregational care this whole month and lifting up ways that you could serve. And so some of you might be called to hospital ministry. And we've got a team of people that go and visit others in the hospital. And that might sound a little intimidating, but when you stop and think about it, you're like, "Man, I just get to go and offer hope and encouragement to somebody before or after surgery." Or when they wind up and they weren't expecting to be in the hospital, when you show up, you not only represent the church, but you represent the presence of Christ. See, they can't change their situation, but you can be a part of helping them feel less overwhelmed by helping them see Christ and God's love. So maybe it's card ministry, maybe it's hospital visitation, maybe it's something else that God's poking you this morning and you're thinking, "I can do that." Because ultimately, as we talk about revamping, revamping is not just for yourself, but it's so others can experience the peace, hope, grace, and joy of Christ. Ultimately, that's what revamping is about. It's not just about us and us living our best life now or anything like that. We revamp so that we advance the kingdom of God, so that other people will have the opportunity to experience the hope, grace, peace, and joy of Jesus Christ. God is inviting us to revamp, not just for ourselves, but more so that others can experience God's grace and God's goodness. I want to close today with a prayer from the Apostle Paul. And Paul prays these words for the Philippians, and I think this prayer connects with us this morning. So whether we're feeling overwhelmed or whether we are in a space where we can help others, may we be blessed by this prayer. This is my prayer, that your love might become even more and more rich with knowledge and all kinds of insight. I pray this so that you will be able to decide what really matters, and so you will be sincere and blameless on the day of Christ. I pray that you will then be filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes from Jesus Christ, in order to give glory and praise to God. Amen.